This evening, I would like for us to look at, we're going to basically be in John 6. So most of what we're going to be doing is going to be in John 6, though we are going, of course, jump in a lot of other places. But if you want to put a marker there, we'll be coming back to it frequently. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000. And at that point in time, probably his popularity was an all-time high. Now, some of the people, in response to that, decided that it was time to make Jesus their king. And so in John chapter 6, take a look at verse 14. John chapter 6, and in verse 14, he said, "Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.' And so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain to be by himself alone." It wasn't that just they had actually accepted him as Messiah. They were wanting to force Jesus to become their king. And the reason Jesus left was because the people's motivation was all wrong. They were only thinking about the free food that Jesus provided. In fact, take a look at verse 26 of John chapter 6. Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." That's not a good reason to want somebody to be king. The proper emphasis should have been on the spiritual things, not the physical. And as in verse 27, Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Now that's not to say that we aren't to be concerned or work for our physical food. That's not what Jesus was talking about. We are to do that in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." And the problem here is that we have people who are looking for a way out of working for food. Instead of laboring for it, they were looking for someone to give it to them. But what Jesus was really talking about is priorities relative to where one's going, what's most important to. We ought to be following Christ because of eternal life, not about life here on earth. In fact, what's implied here is eternal life takes effort on our parts. Take a look at verse 28 in John chapter 6. "Therefore they said to him, 'What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" There's the work. There's the effort. And sometimes people look at that statement, they miss the implication there. They oftentimes look at faith as just something that happens. But Jesus said, this is the work of God, to believe. Now, when you hear some listening to Jesus' teaching, some of them believed. If you take a look at John 6 and verse 28, or it's not 28, John 8, 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, Then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. He who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And down to 32. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So some heard in the teachings, they believed him. Yet what's interesting in the same passage, just a few verses later, we find among those, that same group, are some who want to kill Jesus. Take a look at verse 36. So if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free indeed. Free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. That's interesting. They just were said, these are people who believed. But Jesus turns around and says, but some of you are trying to kill me. In other words, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but it really didn't alter the course of their life. It didn't change anything. Jesus' words caused belief, but it did not take up residency. It didn't stay with them. Now in John chapter 12, we find also there were others that believed, but they would not admit it. Take a look at John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. They feared the consequence of the belief. They feared what other people might think of them. In fact, if you go down to verse 44 of John 12. Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandments is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. But Jesus is saying there's more to believing than just believing in Jesus. If you actually believed in Jesus and his words, you would also believe in God the Father. Because Jesus is speaking nothing more than what the God the Father has asked him to say. Jesus was teaching God's words. And it comes down to, are you able to accept Jesus' commands? Just a little bit later in John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you love me, in verse 15, John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, it's not simply, belief is not just claiming Jesus. Like some people will say, well, I claim Jesus as my personal Savior. That's a start, but that's not what is being discussed here. Believing implies obedience. Take a look at Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You have to actually obey him, not just call him Lord. That's why James said that faith without works is dead. In James chapter 1, or 2, sorry, James chapter 2, and in verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. And down in verse 26, he again says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Here we have people who believe and were not saved. And to a lot of the religious world, that is a difficult concept to grasp. How can that possibly be? But if we understand, believing and obeying are part of the same thing. Really, truly receiving God's words and doing what God has said, then that belief is not in vain. You can have a vain belief, a worthless, useless belief. But when it's combined with works, then it becomes something productive. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and starting with verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you truly believed in vain. Unless you hold on to the word, unless you actually do it and apply it, that belief is in vain. Jesus declared that he was the bread of life in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus himself is the bread of life. He is the food that we need. He is the source of life for us. And the reason Jesus came was to feed us, not physical food, but spiritually. In Matthew chapter 4. Oops. I guess I skipped that verse on that one. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's a quote out of the Old Testament. Jesus applies it to us as well. And Jesus' teachings were amazing. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of that sermon, and you see the crowd's reaction in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, it says, when Jesus was finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching as one having authority and not as their scribes. And what Jesus was asking of us when he says to follow after what he taught was just the same as what he did himself. There's a little statement that he taught when he's talking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 And in verse 32, the disciples had come to bring him food, and Jesus had said to them, I have food that you do not know about. Well, what food was he talking about? Well, obviously it wasn't physical food because they didn't have any then. It was spiritual food. In fact, in verse 34, he explains, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. There's the food that Jesus partook in. He said, that's satisfying right there. Obeying God, doing his will, teaching his instructions to others. In fact, he invited the disciples and us as well to join in that same food. Look at verse 35. Do you not say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields. They are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others labored and you have entered into their labor. Jesus is talking about profiting from doing God's work, teaching other people, doing what God has said to do. Therein is true food. And so for us to eat this living bread, which is the Word of God, we can't just listen to it. We talked about this morning that we have to read the Scriptures, but it can become a step further to say, we got to apply it. We got to do it. Take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. We got to put it into practice. And when we do that, then Jesus' words brings us eternal life. Go back to John chapter 8 again. This time down to verse 51. John 8 verse 51, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death again. Therein lies what we have to do. We have to put it into practice. And the answer then to eternal life is in what Jesus said. In John chapter 6 again. John 6 and verse 63. John 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Therein lies how we find eternal life. Words by themselves are useless unless they're actually put into practice, unless something is done with them. And Jesus didn't offer mere words. He showed the proof of their validity in the miracles that he performed. He showed that what he said were from God. Back in John chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus said, but the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given to me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me and the Father who has sent me. And I think here Jesus is talking far more than just the miracles he's accomplishing. I think he's talking about his teachings as well. It's not just the words, it's what happens with them. Now, for some, the proof of miracles didn't make them much of an impression. We had a lot of people that were just focused on the result of the miracles. Like Jesus said in John 6:26 again, Truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. They missed the whole point of the miracle. Yes, they saw a miracle. They got fed. But that wasn't the point. The feeding wasn't the point. It was to back up the teachings that Jesus had spent all day doing prior to their being fed. But other people saw the proof, but they really didn't like where that proof led their thoughts. And so they just ignored it. Back in John 5, look at verse 37. And the Father who sent me, he testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. There were so many of the Jews at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes. They didn't want Jesus as a Messiah. It didn't matter what proof was offered. It didn't matter what the scriptures said and how Jesus was fulfilling them. It didn't matter how right Jesus' words were. It wasn't what they wanted. And so they ignored the proof. The evidence that Jesus showed should have impressed them, regardless of the outcome of what they wanted. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 37, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you have not believed me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Jesus is basically saying, okay, you don't like me personally. That's fine. But at least accept the proof. And look at the consequence in verse 39. Therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. At least believe the works. Let's kill him. Later on, Jesus said in verse John 14. John 14 and verse 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Again, Jesus was telling the crowds, even if you have trouble accepting me, look at the works that are being done. And believe those, because they will lead you to the truth. Fortunately, for some, those miracles did get across. Like, for instance, Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And in verse 2, this man who came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He saw the works. He understood the consequence of that. It had to be from God the Father. There's just no other explanation. See, there's no other way to get to eternal life but through Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 6, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way. In fact, Peter says in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and in verse 10. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health. He is a stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But all these words don't do you or I any good unless we act upon them. Jesus' words offer eternal life. But you have to work at doing the things that you believe are true. You have to apply them. You have to let them change you. You have to follow where it goes. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there are any who are children of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.